Thank you, Jesus. Are you ready for the Word? Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is Paul quoting what God has said. Verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." God says there's a people he will receive. They come out from among them, and they move toward holiness. Verse 18 says, "And I will be a father unto you, you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." I'll be a father to you. This morning I want to talk about godly fathers. Being a godly father. Because the truth is, most of us when we grew up did not know how to be a father. When we got married, had kids, we didn't know how to be a father. The only example we had for most of us was our fathers ourselves. Their example was their father. Chances are they were not getting their example out of the Word of how to be a father. And some of you, I'm sure, were. Mine wasn't. And so we followed an image of fatherhood, a perceived constant of what a father should be versus what it really was meant to be. True fatherhood for us should be to walk in the example of God as our Father. Now we have another problem. So many people have a wrong image of God as a Father. He's looking for you to mess up so he can throw you into hell. He loves to smite people and punish people. And a lot of people grow up with the job of a father. It's just correction. Mothers nurture, fathers correct. But God in His Word said He is love. He's the very definition of love. Do you think about how as loving as you can be, God's beyond that. He loved us so much He sent His best sacrifice. Think about that. Jesus came to earth as a man, laid down His role in heaven, and came to earth as a man to die on our behalf. Lived a life in the flesh on behalf of man to reestablish man in covenant and connection with God. That's love. You follow me? And God loves you so much, He overlooks your mess ups if you just turn to Him. He loves you so much that He'll spend time, the Creator of the heavens will spend time with you. Not just in ordering you around, but in comforting you.
Yes.
Loving, directing you. Speaking with you, whatever you need to hear, you know, for the situation you're in. God loves us. In fact, of all of His creation, we are the ultimate aspect of all He made. He made us to be His friends. The cherub were not to be God's friends. Angels aren't to be God's friends. Man is His highest level. Creation to be His best friend. How many have a really good friend? A lot of you, right? And that friend is somebody you can tell stuff you wouldn't tell anybody else. A confidant. You can share your heart's secrets with, what you're going through, what you're feeling, your up times, your down times. Your good friend, your best friend. Hopefully it's a spouse. But regardless, it's somebody that you trust with your life. And God said, "I'll be your best friend." Not only that, you can tell me any secrets you want to. In other words, you can confide in me anything you want to. I'm going to hold it against you. I already know it. I'm going to hold it against you. Be honest with me. But here's what gets me. God said, and you will be my confident. God will share his heart with us if we'll press into it to be his best friend. Because he said this. God said this. He says, how can I do anything on earth unless I tell my servant Abraham? God said, I can't do anything unless I share it with my best friend. And when Abraham was on earth, he was God's best friend. That's right. God made us for intimate fellowship. That's how much he loves us. Amen? And so many of us have grown up with a wrong image of God, a wrong image of fatherhood. And so, you know, I'm thinking about Barry, about Wayne, maybe some of the others. Their fathers came through World War II. Mine didn't. Your dad a D-Day, Wayne? Your dad was a D-Day? Barry's father served on the Nevada.
Yeah.
Well, Nevada was originally sunk at Pearl Harbor and they raised him.
Yeah, he was at Normandy.
He was in Normandy as well.
Yeah.
Well, the Nevada was at Normandy, yes. Shelling the beach, yes. Both of them at D-Day. And so, listen, I really am drawn to movies about war, especially World War II. And I used to watch them for the battle scenes, but now I watch them for the attitude of the soldiers. Knowing what they're coming through, how are they handling it? And even the last few days, I've been watching a series about shows were made about special incidents of World War II. And those men were tough. I mean, they've gone through hell. And what happens when you go through situations you don't know if you can live through? It might just make you tough. It'll make you hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your best friend liable to get blown to pieces. That day, you become almost callous. Now, I don't know Big Tom, didn't know Big Tony, and didn't know Barry's dad, whether they were like that or not. But they came out with an attitude, as a dad, I got to raise my kids tough. Yes, Wayne?
He landed on Normandy on his 25th birthday.
Normandy on his 25th birthday.
Wow.
Did he come out tough?
He tougher than a woodpecker clips.
He didn't really need to be tough.
He's always tough. He's still tough.
He still does. Raise them to be tough, even hard, because you got to be tough to go through war like that.
Yes.
And my father and others, you know, if you're in my age range, your fathers may not have come through World War II. But their families did, and that was the attitude of coming out of World War II in the 40s, 30s, 40s. You were raised, you better be tough. And a manly image was a man worked hard all day, he came home, he was the king of his castle. You follow me, his kids better line up, supper better be on the table. He's the king, you know, he's the boss, and that was what we grew up with. And coming out of it, we carry that same attitude. That's what a father does. Father can't show emotion. Father shouldn't act too soft, too caring. He can't show the children any kind of a soft side because, especially the boys, gotta be strong. And we grew up with that attitude. Almost with one of being, what's the word I want? Demanding of the wife. The wife was almost like another servant in the house. I mean, guess, they just go through a situation. Their lives are on the line, a lot of them daily. They're coming home for things lined up how they want it now. But that's not necessarily how God means for things to be. But yet, that was our image of fatherhood. And I didn't have any word knowledge of me, really, any level when I became a father, as far as how to be a dad. It's on-the-job training. Amen.
Yeah.
But our best training manual for fatherhood is the Word. And not just the corrective issues out of the Old Testament, this God smiting people. I'm talking about God demonstrating His love for us. And the most powerful thing a father can do is learn to walk in the love of God in the image of Christ. Amen. I find it interesting. Jesus would have been the ultimate image of manhood on earth. He was the Word made flesh. Listen. Who made man? God. Don't you think maybe He should be the one to define what a man should be and who he is?
Yes, absolutely.
We got these tough guys walking around. I'm the man of the house, and God's saying, don't you think I know what a man should be?
Yeah.
I made him. Why don't you listen to me what you should be doing versus walk by this predetermined image you think you should carry? See, some of you are already wrestling with this already. I believe in being tough. You follow me? I mean, I get pythons like this just sitting around. I was raised, men don't cry. Boys, little boys don't cry. If I cried as a kid, I got in trouble. Made fun of mom. You gonna sit there and cry?
Yeah.
Well, I cut my hand off. Put some spit on it and get back to work. I'm not saying this is judgment. I'm saying this is what I grew up with and probably many of the other fathers did. In my life, I never heard my father say, love me. I don't think a single time I ever heard it. Maybe when he got older and he was drunk. I don't know. Not only didn't hear it, didn't feel it reflected a whole lot. Because that's not what fathers do with sons. They raise them to be real men, real tough, unshakable. Woman does what I want them to do. And the kids have to line up. And doesn't that make your children want to serve God as Father in the image that we're reflecting? I believe fathers should be tough. But Jesus wept. You follow me? There's nothing unmanly about weeping in a severe situation. I'm not talking because you got a hangnail. Something touches you emotionally. I tell you what, I hope he knows how much I admire and appreciate him in this church. That maybe the most sensitive man I've ever met is Frosty.
Yeah.
He'll cry at the drop of a hat. And not once was I ever allowed to go over him and say, you big baby. Now, I may not feel the liberty to do that. I may feel the emotion, but I'm going to choke it down because I was raised, men don't do that. It's programmed so deeply within us. Then we start to raise our kids like you can't be having an emotional response. I understand you don't walk around, you know, as ineffective, not strong. But you don't demonstrate to your children a fatherly image. Angry all the time. Judgmental all the time. And again, I grew up with a father. There were no accolades. If I'd handled the moon, he just said, you should have put it higher. It was always, you can do better. You can, versus any coaching coming along. I'm not sharing this about me. I'm sharing it about our generation. And we've got to be careful from passing down the wrong image of fatherhood. And we should be those that demonstrate love to our wives. Consideration. What would you like to do? No, this toast is burned. Now, I might take this as a point of success in my life. I've been married 42 years. Patty, I've never complained about anything you ever cooked. If it was burnt on the bottom, you'd peel it off. Did I say this is terrible?
No.
I'll just say, hey, it's crunchy. I like crunchy. Did Does it taste good? Not particularly. But my wife made it for me.
Amen.
I'm going to embrace it versus judge it. I don't want people in my house walking around with pins and needles afraid to make a mistake. And God doesn't want you doing that. Some of you are raised with an image of fatherhood that that's not what dads do. Mothers nurture, dads correct. Now listen, the Word does say we're to correct our children. I mean, some of dad's favorite verses are, spare the rod, spoil the child. My kid's not going to be spoiled. No, he's going to hate you too when he grows up if you don't lay off a little bit. Did you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't correct his child, doesn't love him. So I'm showing my child how much I love him. It's really being reflected in every area of your life. That you judge and beat and criticize every step he takes. Is this okay with you this morning?
Yes.
What I'm saying is we've got to break the mold of the wrong image of fatherhood. And even if we made mistakes, tell your sons, I was wrong. Here's what, if I had to do over, I would do differently. Yes, be tough, but be compassionate as well.
Yes.
Be tough, but empathize with those around you. Be tough, but use your toughness as the ability to be who God made you versus some fake image that's not really you. I'm sounding a lot of help with this one. God says in the Word to correct your child. Let me read you a couple of verses real quick to change gears just a second. Genesis chapter 18. I'm going to start reading in verse 18. God speaking. He says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. How many want to become great in your life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Want God to help you, partner with you to become all that you're designed to be, called to be.
Amen.
He says, Abraham's going to be a great mighty nation. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. He says, because I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Now it says, he will command his household. Yes, that's what a dad does. He commands the household. And the whole house that you're to be walking in love is running scared from you. Afraid to express anything around you. Now, I grew up with this. And Patty can tell you, I had a dad that didn't like me. Really bordered on hated me. Because I wasn't the type A person he was. My mother even tried to give me away to her mom at one time. Says, his dad hates him, will you take him? And they refused. I must have been mean. So when my dad got home from work, I could almost count on I'm going to get chewed out for something. Put to work, I'm going to be right every day. So I'd stay at the house until I saw him pull the driveway out the back door. I wouldn't come back until as late as I could get home and not be in trouble. Sometime after dark. Why? If I wasn't there, I wouldn't be chewed out. And that's not the image of fatherhood God wants to break for his sons. He's not the image you want. He wants you to carry. And too many of us, too many of you, talking about the women and the men right now, carry that image of God as father based on the father that you had. And you're afraid of him. You're afraid to mess up in front of him. You're afraid that, you know, he's going to throw you out of the kingdom, take away your born-again experience, you know, just because you made a mistake or a bunch of mistakes. You walk in such a fear of God It's like you have trouble fellowshipping with him. Daddy, I have my grandson here this morning. I don't call him just my grandson. He's my most reverend grandson. And I watch his parents. His dad's loving toward him. I mean, over the top loving. But if he goes into fit mode, you heard of the terrible twos? He'll never be able to enter into it because his dad's not going to let him. If he goes in the floor, starts to throw a fit because he doesn't get his way or wants something or whatever it might be, his dad just looks at him. Says, you're not getting nothing as long as you're doing that. No, not right now. Nope. You're going to have to come out of that. Finally, he'll come out of it, and then Jacob will help him. Long as he's in flesh mode, he's on his own. But as soon as he comes out of it, there he's hugging his son, loving on his son. I've yet to see Jacob, when little Jack, sewing a fit, say, I'm sorry, you can't be a Fisher anymore. That's their last name, Fisher. You're out of the family. I'm done with you. Can't even change your own diaper. At least tell me when it needs to be changed. Of course, he might do that now. He's not kicking him out of the family. Yet we're God's. Think about how immature he is compared to his father, genuine father, Jacob. Think about how immature we are to our Creator God. We're like a little toddler to God. Throwing our fits, making our mistakes, can't put the t-shirt on except to get it backwards, whatever, you know. He's no more going to throw out of the kingdom if you have a heart for him for making a mistake than you would your own child. Your little child. Yet because of this hard image of fatherhood we've had, we walk with that fear so often. I can name names of people in here I've had to pray with. Because you're so scared God's going to kick you out when you have a heart for God. He's waiting for you to get over your fit. Come back. So God told and put in the word, he was going to bless Abraham because he would teach his children. Part of the role of a father is teaching. It's teaching. And listen, the best teachers I ever had were also coaches.
Yes.
Not trying to make it hard. Not trying to, you know, make it where you couldn't pass. But we'll coach you along with it. Those who were having trouble, you would stop and spend more time. They'd spend more time to help you get through it. Or just there for the master students. And God's the same way. He's not here just for the ones that soar in spiritual, you know, operations. He's here for all of us. He adjusts his instruction based on our ability to receive it and implement it. And loves us every single step of the way. Now listen, it's taken me some years to get old, but I still don't have it down. I still fight this wrong image of God as a father. Because it was so ingrained in me with the wrong image growing up. It's up to us to break that image. We're to be correctors. We're to be teachers as fathers. I believe God holds us responsible for what we instruct our kids. Especially regarding things of the kingdom of heaven. How much exposure are you bringing them into? How much love are you showing them on the way? How much are you being genuine versus a fake image of severity? I'm not attacking you. I'm not attacking your fathers. I'm telling you the word is the final say of who we should be as a father. Deuteronomy 11, God instructs, verse 19, you shall teach them to your children, talking about the word, the commandments. Really, it should be better put instruction. Talking of them when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. One of the most sweet-spirited men I've ever met in my life is Patty's father, Bill Montague. I knew him for... He's been gone for 10 years? 2016, yeah. I've known him for... I knew him for 34 years. He raised his voice one time. And then it was barely raised. Most time he spoke like this. Yes, I think we should do this. This is what you need to do. This would be good. He worked as a manager at IBM, same time I was at IBM. And his nickname by those that worked under him was called Father Montague. Because he was so empathetic and so considerate. Not even born again.
Yeah, and he's loved by everybody.
Just, they loved him because he was so fatherly. Father Montague, fatherly. And again, he never raised his voice. And I find it interesting in the Word that when it talks about hearing God, it says he came as a still small voice. I've had God shout at me before. Anybody else ever had God shout at you? He shouted at me. When I was backing off a cliff and I wouldn't stop, he could say, stop, stop the van, stop. Stop! What? I got to find out I was about to back off of a van. There's some time, I mean, off of a cliff, 30-foot high cliff, I'm about to mess things up. I would have scratched my van and everything. Straight ahead. Taylorsville Lake, going off a cliff, didn't even know it. He shouted at me. After warning me quietly two or three times. But most of the time, see, God will have to shout if you're doing something really stupid or not listening. Most of the time, he's very quiet in how he speaks. You know who else I've never heard shout? Olivia! Yeah.
She's always the same. Always
she goes, Pastor Jack, that was the best message I've ever heard. I said, Olivia, you said the last 12 times I preached. And you know what? When I hear her voice, I feel consideration. I feel. All right. I feel the love. And God says, I'm speaking to you in a still small voice. Why are you still so afraid of me? That God was hollering at us all the time. We might have reason to be afraid. But he says, I'm like those that you hear that are soft-spoken. What makes us afraid are inappropriate translations of this word using, how can I say, hard terminology. And our natural fathers we've experienced. I remember growing up some of the TV shows that were on. I need to wind this up, don't I? Some of the TV shows that were on. Anybody remember Father Knows Best?
Yes.
Make Room for Daddy. That's
yes.
Old one, isn't it? How about Leave It to Beaver?
Yes.
Donna Reed.
Yes.
Do you know on TV none of those fathers ever hollered? What if Danny Thomas did something? Make Room for Daddy. He would have some help now. But Father Knows Best. Robert Young was always, well, Munchkin, that's just not how we ought to do things in this house. Leave It to Beaver. He would raise his voice a little bit. Beaver! Don't flush the cat down the toilet. Hugh Beaumont saw in a movie the other day from 10 years before Beaver. Always soft-spoken. Yet we still come up with these ideas that God's always mad. Did anybody else... I'm honestly asking this question because I think it can make a point. Did anybody beside me grow up with a dad who always seemed like he was mad? Always tense. Always looking for you to make a mistake or upset. I did. You may not have.
Well, Pastor Jack, I can tell you one thing. In my house, there was no such thing as ADHD. Seeing that look in his eye, he had my complete, undivided attention.
Amen.
Because he understood spare the rocks for the child.
Oh, wow.
Fortunately, my kids grew up with a perfect father. As one was in the service today, rolling her eyes. I'm like looking over that, I know she's rolling her eyes. So many had dads that had this image, especially with sons. I can't show my sons softness because he came out of that war generation where you couldn't be soft. You couldn't be emotional. If you were emotional, you'd be shell-shocked in the infirmary somewhere, you know, pat slapped upside the head. If you saw, you would know the story. You had to be hard. But somehow there had to be a break between coming home with the mindset of a soldier and transitioning to the mindset of a father. But instead, we started raising up soldiers. I've seen families where the father was military. The kids were like tiny soldiers. Lie! Dad, I'm only three. And they're not the same. There's God the warrior.
Yes.
Who's a warrior against his enemies.
Yeah.
But there's God the Father who's loving towards his family.
Yeah.
And the two attitudes are not comparable. You got to know when God's on your side, He's all the way on your side.
Yeah.
Who's that by our cars? Oh, it's Jacob.
Jacob
and Jack. That's all Jack said. Who's that one around the cars?
He had to go see his truck.
Oh, gotcha. Look at his we mentioned God, our Father should be corrective. They should be teachers. I've got many more verses on that. Train up a child in the way she goes. He's only going off to part from it. We have to train up. We have to teach our kids. Especially about the way that she goes, which is the Word. But Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Let's close out with a couple verses. Verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. Now understand, fear of God is not terror of God. It's more likened to amazement with total honor. And it says God has compassion towards His children. He's not looking to punish us. Jesus already took the punishment. We don't have to. But go to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Starting in verse 14. God says, I will be a father to him, and he'll be a son to me. When he does wrong, I'll discipline him in usual ways. The pitfalls and the obstacles of this mortal life. In other words, most of God's correction is the message you get yourself into. But He says, I'll never remove my gracious love from him. I don't remember what version that is. English Standard. I don't know which one it was. I'll never remove my gracious love from him. Quit walking afraid of God. The fear of God is not afraid of God's punishment. It's afraid of being out of His will because you so love Him. I don't know anything. I don't want to do anything that messes with this anointing on my life.
Yeah.
Right.
Tampers with my relationship with Creator God. That's the fear of the Lord of the Christians to have. The world has a fear of punishment. Not the saint. Let me take one last step. I invite the chastisement of God in my life. Not because I'm looking forward to being punished. And there's no chastisement of God. It's not punishment, it's correction.
Yeah.
I look forward to getting things right. God, if you don't like it, let me know.
Amen.
So I can make changes, because I don't want anything between me and you.
Amen.
That's fear for us.
Amen.
And so this Father Day, I invite you. If you carry the wrong image, correct it. If you make mistakes, apologize to your kids. Reestablish things. And if you had a father that maybe treated you less than loving, first forgive. And then determine it's not going to affect how I father in the future. Or how I parent. Walk in the image of Christ is the epitome of proper fatherhood. Jesus was tough. We have this image of Jesus being this wimp. He drove out the money. He made a whip and drove out the money changers from the temple.
Amen.
They couldn't lay a hand on his head. They'd fall back. He was tough. But 100% love at the same time. When the kids came around him, the disciples tried to run him off. He says, No. This is what the kingdom of heaven is made of. Father, I thank you for your word. Move in our midst. For the fathers you're raising up at these end times to demonstrate the fullness of the image of Christ. I declare to this church there are none sick, none in pain, none in lack, none oppressed, none in fear, none in strife. We walk in the fullness of supernatural agape love. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.